You're listening to 105 Today. Cambridge
105. Well, from today, which is Maundy Thursday, and the Queen hopefully should be still handing out some of that Maundy money. Well, anyway, the cows are permitted to graze on the common land around Cambridge, and Cambridge Sustainable Food supports these free-range cows. I've been getting the lowdown. Did you get the drift there? Lowing, the cattle are lowing. Do you see what I did there? I did say that I had another one in there. Anyway, I've been getting the lowdown from Anne Mitchell at Cambridge Sustainable Food about the cows and the work of the organisation itself. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Louise.
So tell me, let's start. What is the purpose of Cambridge Sustainable Food?
Cambridge Sustainable Food was set up because there's beginning to be a wider understanding that our food system is not sustainable. In the future, with a growing world population and increasing demand for a westernised diet throughout the world, it's putting great pressure on food resources. And our food system is dominated by food from abroad, from food like strawberries in the middle of winter. We've lost contact with the seasons, and that can't be sustained. Eventually the system will be forced to change, and what we would like to do is to look at ways of changing the system before we're forced into it, to make it a positive thing to do. And it's not only because of the system, but it's because the system as it is incredibly bad for the environment. It's contributing to climate change.
And presumably because of the changing political situation as well, that's going to have a big impact as well, isn't it?
That's a completely new ball game, and a lot of the Sustainable Food Cities Network towns and cities are beginning to get together to discuss how Brexit is going to affect our own agriculture and our own food.
Do you think in some ways it could have a positive effect because we will have to become more self-sustaining?
I think in many ways it could have a positive effect. I think so long as we look very carefully at environmental regulations and maintaining good quality food production, then I think it could be very beneficial, because we will have to look to what we produce ourselves and maybe expand our own production rather than, in certain areas, rather than concentrating on single crops for export.
And also presumably concentrating on being more seasonal and...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what do Cambridge Sustainable Food do at the moment to promote everything, and how do they work?
Right, we've got a whole lot of projects we work on. Apart from having a website, which we hope is becoming something that people refer to if they want information, or where you can buy certain things, or which restaurants are more sustainable than others, we've also got a variety of active projects, one of which is we run family cookery groups to get families in areas such as Arbury, Barnwell, Abbey, cooking together. Mm. And at the same time as cooking together, when you start to learn to cook from scratch, then you start to be able to produce much healthier meals.
And also, presumably, you demonstrate a way in which you can use everything.
Yeah, that's
rather
right.
Than kind of frustrates me when I see people buy a whole chicken, take the breasts off and then throw the rest away. So presumably that's something else as well. You help show them ways in which they can utilise every part of what they have.
That's right, yes. But we don't do any meat cookery.
Right.
So it also opens up their eyes to the fact that you can have a really good meal without necessarily having meat. Food waste is one of the other issues we work with the council on two aspects. One, in promoting recycling, using up leftovers with people, but also working with food businesses about what do they do with food waste, how to minimise it.
Is that restaurants and things?
Restaurants, food outlets, takeaways, particularly, they can now participate in the council scheme for removing food waste, which then goes to be composted rather than going to landfill.
Right.
So it's trying to do the best you can with anything that's left over rather than it just being piled into the ground.
And so really, one of the reasons I wanted to get you in today was to talk about the return of the cattle on the Commons as well. So how does that fit with Cambridge Sustainable Food?
Well, it fits with Cambridge Sustainable Food in that the cattle on the Commons are local, they're grass-fed, so they're not dependent on crops grown elsewhere brought in to feed them. They are outdoors all the time, so they don't have the heating costs of winter sheds. In the winter, they're fed supplements of vegetables rather than being fed cattle cake and cattle feed. They have very little need for antibiotics, no growth hormones. So you know if you're eating cam cattle, you might have met it as you cycled across the Commons, but you know it's good quality outdoor reared beef, cattle that have been living as cattle ought to live.
Yeah, I mean, some people do find that a little bit, that grating almost, I've cycled past the cow, I can't, possibly, but actually...
I think that's one of the big problems of our food system. Mm. We've lost contact.
If you detached go to
the supermarket, the meat is all laid out. You have no idea where it's come from, but you don't know much about how the animal was reared, how humanely it's been slaughtered. We just don't know anymore.
Are the cattle slaughtered locally as well, then?
I believe they are slaughtered somewhere in Norfolk.
Right, so it's still within East Anglia.
It's within East Anglia. The local slaughterhouse hasn't got the capacity, so they have to go to a slightly bigger one, but it is local. And then the meat is just used locally as well.
And the meat that is then produced is also sourced to local businesses as well.
There's lots of local businesses, restaurants, local butchers.
So going back to Cambridge Sustainable Food then, what would you like to see happen?
Can I interrupt and go on to another aspect of the cattle?
Yep.
Because there's two aspects to eating beef. Now, eating beef and lamb, which are both from ruminant animals, they contribute fantastically to climate change. I think if you look at global greenhouse gas emission figures, agriculture as a whole is about 25%. So if you think of all the sort of factories, transport, agriculture contributes 25%. And 14% is livestock. And cows and sheep are particularly bad because they produce methane. And methane is a much more damaging greenhouse gas. And the big problem with beef is that cattle in many places are reared in a very intensive way. They don't see the light of day very often. They, not in this country, but certainly in America, it's one of the big issues between trade between America and the EU, has been American beef are fed growth hormones, antibiotics used regularly, prophylactically, rather than if an animal's ill. So that has implications on antibiotic use for us and the fact that we are running into problems with antibiotics because bugs are resistant to everything that we know about. It produces an awful lot of environmental damage in terms of slurry, in terms of runoff into water systems. And then if you look at the cattle themselves, if you're breeding intensively, they're not living a natural life. They're not happy animals. I'm not sentimental about animals, but I think animals have a right to live a life which is appropriate to what they would normally do. Mm. I like to see chickens running around. I like to see the cattle on the commons because they're grazing, they're sheltering under trees.
On that note, though, as regards the cattle that are on the commons, how are they affecting the environment, as it were? Do you know what I mean? If those that are intensively farmed, we're saying produce a lot of methane, is that the same or is it different because they're on grass?
The methane, they still do produce methane, but I think it's the volume.
Right.
And I think it's our demand for cheap meat that's producing the necessity to have all this intensive farming. And it's not just us, it's the whole of the Western world, and it's spreading to China and India too. The richer people come, the more they want to adopt a Western diet. And that's having a real impact. Because cows that are kept in more intensive conditions have to be fed. So you have to use an increasing amount of land to actually produce the crops to feed the cows. Agriculture is responsible for 75% of global deforestation. Mm. And a lot of that is for livestock rearing. So beef as a subject is a very controversial one because of the damage livestock rearing causes to the environment. But if we could have more little approaches like cam cattle, that would be brilliant.
Mm.
But the other message is that we eat too much. And if we could just cut back on our meat eating, it would have a significant impact.
In fact, there's I think the likes of Paul McCartney and some of the sort of high profile people are saying, even if you're not going to stop eating meat, maybe cut it out once a week.
That's right.
Or, you know, so that you're actually, that would have a huge impact if everybody did one day,
yes,
which is actually not that much really in the grand scheme of things for each person.
Yes.
If they cut back for one day on the grander scheme, on the bigger picture, it's going to make a massive impact, doesn't it?
It would.
So is that something you would advocate then?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And also for health reasons. And we're now, the new Live Well plate that's been produced says we should be eating 75% less red meat and processed meat.
Well, interesting.
We actually do.
Interestingly enough, I did some training a long time ago, and part of that was nutrition side of things, and our bodies can only process about 20 grams of protein at any given time. You know, there has to have you know, time to break it down, all the rest of it. And when you consider that some people go out and have like a some ridiculous ounce size steak, you know, your body really must suffer as a result of that. So I guess that's one thing that we need to be thinking about, as you say.
And if you're eating that amount of meat on a regular basis, it does have an impact on your health.
Mm.
And that's now been proved. And I think if everybody could just restrict the amount of meat they eat, eat more fruit and vegetables, we'd have a healthier nation.